The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you have one of the Bibles from the back of the pew, you can follow along on page 1021. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is God's word.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Grateful you're with us as we continue on through 1 John. We've been looking to 1 John to make connections to our life today. What does this ancient letter have to do with anything in the 21st century? That's really what we're exploring. I think today we're going to see some real significant overlap for our lives in our modern world. Relationship insecurity runs rampant in our world and in our lives. This tendency that we have to not be able to rest in relationships, but to have a kind of bit of anxious worry about us, always wondering how we're going to be received, worried about whether or not we'll be rejected, having this inability to be vulnerable with another person, a lack of commitment relationally, the struggle that we at times have, knowing how to relate to other people in conversation, knowing how to ask questions that will draw people out. Oftentimes that has something to do with us being in our heads, worried about this relational encounter and how I'm being perceived and whether or not I'll be accepted. We tend to overthink other people's actions and their words. All of this is just a symptom of kind of this relational insecurity that we have. We tend to worry about relationships rather than enjoying them. This is just a common aspect of life, and it might be so common that we wonder, like, is this just the way it is? Like, is there any hope that we could have a relationship that isn't, doesn't exist on that sort of anxious worry, that doesn't exist on that sort of insecurity? We wonder, is there any stability to be found in a relationship with another person? And as we encounter God's word this morning, John is going to help us see the implications for our relationships, the implications of walking with the Lord in relationship. That there is a way in which we can have not only a relationship with God, but we can have an assurance of that relationship. That there can be a sense of security in a relationship with God. It's not just that I can know him. That's amazing and wonderful, but it's not just that I can know him. It's that I can be secured in knowing him. I can have an assurance of my relationship with him. And so as we think on those things, what we're going to discover is that has an impact for how we relate to other people. It has an impact on every area of life, but most significantly this morning, we're going to see the impact that it can have for us as we think about relationships with other people. You know, resting in the security of an assurance that comes from Christ, it will allow us to live for him. And it will affect the way that we think about everything, including our relationships with others. And so what I hope we'll see this morning is resting in our assurance enables us to love. So resting in an assurance of a relationship with the Lord, resting in that kind of assurance will actually enable us to love one another. And so John starts this section. He takes a turn from our last section and heads into this section, helping us to understand the significance of a relationship with God. But not just that, he wants us to know that you can know that you know him. Not just that you know him, but you can know that you know him. He's wanting to point us to the assurance that we can have in a relationship with God. Look again at verse 3 and then verse 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You see, the reality is you and I can know God. We have the capacities to know him, and if you're in Christ, then he has made a way for you to know God. Not just facts about God, not just information of who he is, what he's like, his likes, his dislikes, nothing like that. He enables us, Christ enables us to actually know God in a personal way. I've used this sort of illustration often, but I think it's very helpful in wrapping our minds around this distinction between knowing about God and knowing God in a personal way. Jack Sock, you may not know that name. He is probably the best tennis player to ever come out of Kansas City. I know lots of stuff about Jack Sock. He's 6'3". He rose as high as number 2 in the world in singles. He got to, or in doubles, he got to number 8 in singles. He retired from tennis in 2023, and he's now on the professional pickleball circuit. He's recently beat the number 4 player in the world. He never lost a match in high school. I mean, unbelievable, right? 80-0 in high school, never lost a match. I know lots of things about him, but I don't know him. Like, we're not friends. I bumped into him at a tennis club not long ago. I think there could have been something. I think there was, like, we could have been friends. But we're not. He travels too much. You know, it's just a thing. But that's different than knowing him. And so it is with God. It is possible to know all kinds of things about God and yet not to know him personally. But the invitation and what John wants us to see is that you can know him. And not just that, you can know that you know him. Like, what does it matter if we can know God? Well, it matters because there is so much insecurity and anxious worry in our world and in our lives as we think about relationships, that there is a stable and secure relationship that can be had with God. One that's rooted in the gospel that allows us to overcome that worry that we have of how we'll be received. We have one person who will never reject us, never forsake us, knows us inside and out, and loves us nonetheless. I mean, we know what that kind of relational worry looks like. We've lived it. I mean, maybe it's the parent who has young kids who are struggling to develop friendships, and it keeps them up at night trying to figure out how to help them. Maybe it's the struggle of growing up and being okay in your own skin in such a way that you're able to get out of your head and actually relate to other people. So that you might not be so preoccupied with yourself, so worried about yourself, that you could actually engage relationally with another person. We know what that struggle feels like because we've lived it. But there is one in whom we can have a relationship that will never fail us, that we never have to sit there and wonder, what is he thinking about us right now? Will he accept me? Will he continue to care for me? No, the relationship that we can have with God is one that's secure. You don't just get to know him, as good as that is. You can rest in a security that you know him. And if you know that you know him, then he says you have been enabled to live obediently with him. You can obey his commands. And by this we know that we have come to know him. If we keep his commandments, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. He's pointing to an assurance of our salvation, an assurance of our relationship with God. You can know that you know him. And so that kind of security, that doesn't come because of you. That doesn't come because you've worked hard to have a relationship with God. You're doing everything you can to make this thing work. Like that kind of relationship that's secure, that's stable, that's steady, it comes because of God's grace in the gospel. You see, that kind of relational security, it comes not because of you, but because of Jesus. You and I are fickle. Like our desires, our motivations, our wants, they go up and down, they ebb and flow all the time. And because we have chosen to live for ourselves, that's the very heart and essence of sin. Because we've chosen to live for ourselves, we're not able to live with God, let alone please him. But God, in his great love, sent his one and only son, Jesus, to live the life that we were supposed to. See, you and I are supposed to live the life that is in harmony with God, walking in step with him. That it would be said of us as it is of Jesus, that we only do what the Father would have us to do. We only say what the Father would have us to say. We only go where the Father would have us go. And yet that isn't the case for us because of our sin. But Jesus took upon himself the penalty of our sin at the cross, making a way for us to know God again, to come into his family, to have a relationship with him. And if that's true, if you've trusted in Christ, turned from the old way of life, embraced Jesus by faith, if you've done that, then a relationship with God is secure for you because of Jesus, because of his work, his performance, his abilities, his competence, not because of you or me. And so as we come to understand the significance of that security in Christ, the security of relationship we can have with him, it'll make sense of this call on our lives to obey his commands. You see, it might be easy for us to hear these words from John and to misunderstand, to think that somehow I've got to work harder, do more, and do better if I'm going to be able to relate to God. But that's not what he's saying. We know that from what he said already in chapter 1 into the first two verses of chapter 2. Like we can't deny that we have that we have struggled with sin the entirety of our existence. That's just not who we are. Like we're not without sin. And so his point isn't somehow, some way, you've got to live perfectly so that you can garner his favor and attention. But instead, we can have a relational, we can have relational standing with God that's secure, not by our obedience, but by Christ. And it's because we have his acceptance that we now can live obediently in a way to please him, to honor him. We're not doing that to somehow gain his acceptance, because we already have his acceptance. We're instead living from that secure relationship of acceptance with God so that we might live for him in practical ways. You see, this flies in the face of the false teachers in John's day. who seem to be saying, it doesn't really matter what you do with your body, it doesn't matter how you live your life, so long as you're spiritually enlightened, you can walk in fellowship with God. And John says nothing could be further from the case. Because when you choose to live for yourself, all you're doing is demonstrating that you don't love him and you don't know him. But instead, as we rest in a secure relationship with the Lord, we are now freed and enabled to live in obedience to all that he commands. Resting in our assurance enables us to love. And that's the precise commandment that he wants to point to, the command of love. And what he wants to say is that if you know that you know, then you now have been freed to love one another. If you know that you know, you've now been freed to live in light of this old new command. Verse 7. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. What is this command? It's the command to love. The context gives us clues in that way. Verses 9 through 11 that we're going to see in a moment, he's going to begin juxtaposing hate and love. So he brings in the notion of love right there. But this language that we're seeing in these verses, it reminds us of Jesus' own words back in John chapter 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. But not only that, 2 John, verse 5, and now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning. What is that one we've had from the beginning? That we love one another. The command that he wants us to call us to, this old, new command, it's the command to love one another. He says this is a command that you heard from the beginning. In that way, he says it's an old command. What he means is that they've heard it from the beginning when they first heard the gospel message about Jesus. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because the gospel of grace is all about God's love for humanity in and through Christ. And so it makes sense that as they hear about this gospel message of grace, that they're going to hear of God's compassion and his love through Christ. And he wants to say that it's an old command, because it's not like these new commands that the false teachers are bringing your way. These false teachers are bringing these commands, telling you that it doesn't really matter what you do with your body. It doesn't matter how you live. All that really matters is that you've gained spiritual enlightenment. And if you've gained spiritual enlightenment, then you can now walk in fellowship with God. And you can live any way that you want. He says it's not like that kind of command. It's an old command. It's one that predates this nonsense that they're bringing to you. You heard it when you heard the gospel of Jesus. But it is a new command, and that is the command that Jesus gave to us. And he said it's a new commandment, that we would love one another. And he says that as we look to Christ, we see love's true expression. It is true in him and in you. That when we look to Christ, we see the true expression of God's love for his people, because Jesus gave his life. And he says it can also be truly expressed in his people as they live out this command of love for one another. And so what he wants us to see is that if you'll rest in the Lord, then you're going to be enabled to love. He says, as we walk in God's light, we're able to love one another. Verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. What he wants us to understand is that the kind of love that he's talking about, Christian love, a love for your brothers and sisters in the family of God, that kind of love, it exists in a new realm. It's because of Christians being put in this new realm, this realm of walking in God's light. being taken out of this realm of darkness by virtue of faith and trust in Jesus, being transferred into this realm of light, God's light. And it's by being transferred into that new realm, we're able to walk in the light. And what he's doing here is he's giving us another way of thinking about this new life that can be had in Christ. That when you trust in him, when you give yourself over to Jesus, he changes everything about your attitude and perspective on life because you're transferred into a new realm. You see things differently. You're no longer groping in the darkness of that old way of life that's characterized by sin. You're now transferred into the light of God. You see things clearly in light of him. And everything changes because of it, including our relationship with one another. You see, because we have this relationship that's secure in the Lord, he says we're going to be able to love others well. See, when we aren't resting in the relational security of God, it's going to be difficult for us to love one another in the way that he's describing. You see, when I need validation in my life from you, when I need to feel how you view me causes me to think about myself in certain kinds of ways, then there is so much at stake that I'm not able to love you because I'm too concerned with how you view me, what you think about me. And when I'm living in that spot, I might be able to use you, but I'm not going to be able to love you. I might even be able to, I could be kind in using people, but I'm not actually really going to be able to love because I need something from you. And if I need something from you, then I've got to do everything it takes to get that. But when we rest in a relationship that comes from the Lord, when we're secure, when you not only know the Lord, but you know that you know the Lord, there is a security that comes from that that frees us now to be able to love other people. And so he says Christians love. They don't hate. They love. And I think it's easy for us to look at those words and to get to misunderstand what John is trying to get across to us. He's not just talking about hate that's loud, that's angry, that's cruel, that's violent. Like, sure, that might display hate that one person has for another. But he wants us to understand that it points to something even more discreet than that. That actually our indifference towards people can also be a way that we hate. I mean, this is what the false teachers were doing. They had left the people of God. They turned their back on them. They left them to go do their own thing. There was an indifference toward these people. And it's that kind of indifference that I think probably most characterizes the hate that can exist within our hearts. The desire to avoid people. The practice of ignoring people. All of those kinds of things are symptoms towards an indifference that is a symptom toward that points toward hate. Well, what we could see on the flip side of that coin is that engaging in gospel community is an act of love. As we care for one another, as we show concern for one another, as we relate to one another, as we're involved in community environments with one another, all of those things are ways for us to display love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is going to come as we rest in our assurance that comes from God. Resting in our assurance enables us to love. And so what might it look like to live in light of this kind of security that we can have in knowing God? I mean, the place that it needs to begin this week is for us to work hard to rest in the gospel, to rest in an assurance of God's love. In those moments where I'm wondering, What does he think of me? When I think of the Lord, what do I envision his face to look like? Is he angry? Is he displeased? Is he indifferent? When I have those moments where I'm unsure, I feel insecure, I feel as though our relationship is unstable, I need to look to the cross. Because in looking to the cross, we see the great demonstration of God's love for us. And it can be a reminder to us that the relationship that I have with him is secure, not because of me, not because of my sin. My sin hasn't separated me from him fully and completely and finally. Because of Jesus, I have an advocate who is my atoning sacrifice. And if that's true, then I have a security in a relationship with God that is unparalleled with any other relationship that I can have with any of you. And that's good news for us, and we need to rest in those realities. We need to do so by cultivating a regular time with the Lord, that we could get to know him. You see, this kind of relationship, this kind of relational communion that we can have with God, it's less like an on-off switch and more like a dimmer switch. You see, if you're in Christ, then you have fellowship with God. But your experience of that fellowship, it is going to raise and lower based upon how you engage with him relationally. My experience of a closeness and intimacy with God will ebb and flow. And so I need to take steps that I could grow to know him better. Spend time with him. Find time in my week, this week, to get to know him. And as I'm resting in this gospel of grace, I'm remembering God's love for me in Christ. Now together we can walk in community as a display of love. Engaging in community environments is a way to display love for one another. It just is. There's something significant that happens as we spend time together. That's intentional, time that's focused, outward, that's caring for the other person, that's trying to get to know one another. Like in that can be a true expression of this kind of love that God has for his children. We need to grow in our ability to know one another, that we can care for one another, that we can love one another. And as we walk in community together, it gives us this opportunity to give ourselves away for Christ's mission. Like, imagine if we lived this kind of life as individuals and as a church. Imagine the kind of counterculture it would create in our city. You and I are not the only ones who struggle with relational insecurity, are we? We're not the only ones who have a bit of anxious worry as we think about relationships with other people. That's just a common feature of our world. That kind of relational insecurity and instability. And so we have an opportunity to point people to a God who provides a security and relationship that can never be found here. And that he's invited our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates to know him through Christ. So who's that one person this spring that you're praying would come to know the Lord? Would come to have their eyes open, that they would no longer walk in the darkness of relational insecurity, but could walk in the light of God's love, that they might know him, might flourish in him, and might find themselves in a family that's centered around Christ. And so every week we take part in the Lord's Supper because we need reminded of these things. We need to be reminded this morning that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is what secures our relationship with God. His body broken, his blood shed, it's the very means. Those are the very means by which it is possible for us to know God. And so if that's true, then this is a moment and a time of worship. As we think upon what God has done for us in and through Christ, we could be moved to worship to be in awe, to have adoration for him, thanksgiving for him in all that he's done for us, making it possible that you and I could know him so we might be enabled to love one another. Resting in our assurance enables us to love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. In it, you have shown us who you are. You've given us a glimpse at what you're like. And just in that little that we know of you, we are astounded by your love and your compassion. And so, Lord, I pray that this would be a moment that we experience your mercy and grace in a fresh way. That as we come and we take part in this supper, remembering Christ's body broken, his blood shed, that we would experience your mercy and grace in a fresh, unique way, right here, right now. Lord, help us to rest in our relationship with you, knowing that it's secure because of Christ. And if that's the case, then enable and empower us to love one another well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.